Main message for today, Mr. Jim Call.
Thank you, Mr. Shoemaker. We have several guests here and want to welcome them all and glad to see them here. Some of them did come from long ways. You know, by the way, have you heard about these two little boys that went missing? Didn't hear about that? Well, they were sitting in the back of this church, and the preacher was giving a powerful message about children. And after it was over, he noticed that them two little boys were really interested in what he was talking about. But after he finished his long sermon, 15 minutes, he walked back in the back, and he talked to these two little boys, and he said, "I noticed you was interested in my sermon about children." "Yes, sir." "Well, do you know God?" "Oh, yes, sir, we know God." "Well, do you know where he is?" And at that, the two little boys ran out the back door, and they ran home, and they went in the house, and they hid in a closet. And the mom said, "What's going on? Why are you hiding?" "Well, the preacher is asking us questions about God, and he thinks that he's lost and we know where he is." Yeah. I think Mr. Errett told that one time. How important is prophecy to you? You know, prophecy, now, according to Mr. Webster, prophecy is a prediction of something to come. Pretty short answer. A prediction of something to come. Now, you know, some people like prophecy and other people don't care a bit about prophecy. Between a fourth and one-third of the Bible, though, is prophecy. Some long books, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, are prophetic books. Genesis and Psalms and others contains very important prophecies also. And one of Jesus Christ's longest recorded discourses are found in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Prophecies described before Christ was crucified even. And then we see more prophecies at the end of the Bible in Revelations. Lots of prophecies there. And I got seven areas I'm going to discuss today. Prophecy number one is the prophecy reveals who and what God is. Prophecy reveals who and what God is. Another way to express this would be to say that prophecy reveals God's greatness and God's power. Power such that he is able to reveal the future. And what is the future? It's prophecy. The Bible begins with a testament to God's awesome creative power. Where? In Genesis 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And later, it tells how he set the heavenly bodies in order, separated the land from the ocean. He populated the planet with plants, birds, sea creatures, and human beings. Let's turn to Isaiah 42. We're going to read verse 5 through 9. Oops, turned the wrong one. Isaiah 42, verse 5. I'm all thumbs this morning for some reason. It's Isaiah 42. Okay. Isaiah 42, verse 5 through 9. I'm using a different Bible, and the pages are, that's an excuse. Isaiah 42, verse 5 through 9. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praises to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. New things that are coming. Prophecy. No one or nothing can compare to God, brethren. You know that? That's why you're here. Nothing can compare to God. No one can speak and bring galaxies. No one except God. No one can bring living beings from nothing except God. And no other can declare what will happen before it happens except God. Brethren, that's prophecy. As humans, we are used to, we're used to thinking in three dimensions. We're used to thinking of the breadth, the height, and the depth of something. And to limited extent, we can grasp God's great creation, His ability to those dimensions, by viewing the world around us. But how does prophecy fit into that? In one sense, prophecy could be received as God exercising His creative power in yet another dimension, that of time. Time. Foretelling the future and then bringing it to pass. Only God can do that. God's ability certainly far surpasses anything that humans are capable of doing. Today, however, number two, prophecy number two. Prophecy reveals that God exists and that the Bible is His revealed word. And throughout the centuries, men and women can and have denied that reality of God. Some prefer to believe there is no God, and you've probably heard that before. I want to turn to Romans 1. Romans 1, we're going to read verse 28 through 32. Romans 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a rebellious mind, a reprobate mind, in some Bibles, to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now, it sounds like children, and God knows. He knows way ahead of time what children will be like. Parents need to teach their children. Verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Today, however, people evaluate denial of God to an art form, particularly in their efforts to explain away scientific evidence such as the unbelievable complexity of DNA. You know, that's something that has just been brought up I don't know how long ago, but it's not been that long. The fine-tuning of the universe in our planet for the existence of life. Only God. All of this is prophecy that has already come to pass. DNA. You know, God knew about DNA because He created it. Let's turn to Isaiah 44. And this time I did it. Isaiah 44, verse 6 through 8. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people all the things that are coming and shall come. It's prophecy. Let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. So indeed, history itself is a witness that God foretold about. God is so sure of what he foretells that He has put it in writing, your Bible, all through the Bible, well ahead of time where it can be easily disproven if it doesn't come to pass. But you'll see there has been a lot of prophecy that has already come to pass. There's a lot of prophecy that will yet come to pass. Yet time and time again, what God has written has already taken place. The Bible alone contains hundreds of prophecies that have been fulfilled already. Just as were recorded years ahead of time, and there's hundreds more waiting out there to be fulfilled. Let's turn to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, we're going to read verse 33. Verse 33, and when this comes to pass, and surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. The things that he predicts will, brethren, will come to pass. That's a guarantee. Prophecy number three. Prophecy shows that God is in ultimate control. God is in control of everything. Turn back with me to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, we're going to read verse 9 through 10, 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient time, things that are not yet to come. What's he talking about there? Prophecy. If it's not came yet, and it will be coming in the future, it's prophecy. And from ancient times, things that are not yet to come, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. So clearly, only God can do this. Only God can do this. There are some people that can predict the weather almost. But guess what? God controls it. People predict the weather. The weatherman predicts the weather, but God controls it. Prophecy number four. Prophecy reveals the consequences of obedience and also of disobedience. Prophecy reveals the consequences of obedience and disobedience. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. I want to turn back to Deuteronomy 28. I got a bookmarker here. I want to read it. It says, Jim was born 1,935 years, 3 months, and 5 days after the birth of Jesus Christ. Ain't that something? You can get this up in Washington, D.C. Okay, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Brethren, think back a few years ago when I believe that God set the United States of America above all nations. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You know, this chapter goes on to describe blessings and other material abundance and agricultural and good health and national respect, prestige and victory and conflict, divine protection, good weather, good health. Brethren, United States of America is what I think of when I read this. But it's probably going to change. Let's read verse 15 and 19. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and all his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall your basket and your kneading bowls. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Brethren, like I said earlier, we are seeing some of these things coming to pass today. There's diseases and drought and wars, mental illness. And I know that probably most of you have seen on the news out west where there's, I think it's 13 states now that have wildfires going. And they're out of control. Let's read verse 47 and 48. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 and 48. It says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart, for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies. I think we're doing that today also, brethren. In a way, I think we are. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Prophecy number 5. Prophecy reveals God's will, that he wants all to receive his gift of salvation. Prophecy reveals God's will, that he wants all to receive his gift of salvation. Brethren, there's no question that much of the Bible is prophecy. And much of those prophecies are grim. And at times, they're pretty frightening. Today, when you hear news, pretty frightening. In places, it's grim. And at times, very sobering. God doesn't want any of us to suffer. He doesn't want any of us to suffer. Turn with me back to Ezekiel 33. I know we was there earlier. We're going to read verse 11. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, and turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? But you know, the prophecies of the Bible almost always end with hope and good news. In some way or another, they almost always end with hope and with good news coming from God. And this is because, as Paul told Timothy, well, let's turn Timothy 1, 1 Timothy, verse 1 Timothy 2. I'll get it out here. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He desires for everybody to come to his truth. Bible prophecy reveals how that wonderful truth will play out in prophecy. It will play out, brethren. Prophecy number 6. Prophecy reveals God's plan for humanity. Prophecy reveals God's plan for humanity. You know, God is working out an incredible plan here below. All the holy days, all the Sabbaths. That's his plan. Feast of Tabernacles will be here in no time, it seems like. Anyway, God is working out an incredible plan here below, a plan for how he will bring us to salvation and eternal life in his divine family. Think about that, brethren. And that's prophecy. That's future. He is going to bring us into his divine family. Got to think about that. There's a marvelous future for those who surrender their lives to him right now. 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians 6, verse 18. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I think that is so good. There's another thing I discovered up here. If you're not careful, this fan that's up here turns your pages and you're going to read the wrong scripture. And that happens. Let's turn to 1 John 3. First John 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has the hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone. Have you put in your request for what you want to do in God's kingdom? I know one man here that has. He said he wants to head up the War Department. Melt down all that war machinery and turn them into plows and stuff, you know, you cut grass with and stuff. I ain't going to tell you who it is, Ralph Smith. Prophecy number 7. Prophecy should motivate us to repent and turn to God. Prophecy should motivate us to repent and turn to God. I want to turn to Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25, we're going to read verse 4 and 5. Verse 4, it says, "And the Lord has sent to you all His servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened, nor inclined your ear to them. They said, repent now, every one, of his evil way and his evil doing, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever." Here we see where Jeremiah himself is summarizing the message of God's prophet to his people. That was Jeremiah 25, verse 4 and 5. So we see that another of God's purposes for prophecy is to urge humankind to repent and come to Him. You know, I remember Mr. Armstrong saying that you can read the Bible and you can memorize every scripture, but if you don't do what you have read, then it's useless. You got to do it. You got to repent and come to God. While we're in Jeremiah, let's turn back to 18, Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, verse 7 and 8. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon them. If that nation would and should repent and turn to God, he's not going to do what he thought he would do to that nation. And that's what it says there. And so the key lesson is that we got to repent and we got to change. And we must, brethren. We must do that. I'm going to turn back to Isaiah 55. I'm going to read verse 6 and 8, 6 through 8. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I like that scripture. So God shows us that his word and his vital purpose is prophecy. And God is ready, willing, and able to answer us when we call upon him. Brethren, that's one of the key things. Call upon him. Ask him for help. He will help. We've got to call upon him. Brethren, it's our move now.